4Radio.com. 4Radio.com.
Do you ever feel like you're in mentality hell? You have your doctors and or your support systems in place, but you are still in pain. And then, who is your biggest abuser? Could it now be the one staring back at you in the mirror? To be or not to be accountable is really the question when making the journey to get past the pain of misuse. TobeAccountable.com, practical accountability coaching, specializing in mentality rehabilitation and restoration. A proud sponsor of Soul Sista Enterprise.
Trust Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family-designed experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trust Rio's, our only limit is your imagination. That's Trust Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535 or find us on the web, TrustRioSilver.com. Proud to be part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
This is 4Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams. And now, She's Gone Country with Becky Christensen Phillips.
She's been playing at a room on a strip for 10 years in Vegas. Every night she looks in the mirror and she only ages. Everybody's buying. Says I'm a simple girl myself, grew up on Long Island. So she packs her bags to try her hand. Says this might be my last chance. She's gone country. Look at them boots. She's gone country. Back to her roots.
Good evening and welcome to She's Gone Country with Becky. This is your host, Becky Christensen, and I just want to say thank you so much for joining us tonight for the show. If you are listening to us, there's a couple different ways you found us. And the first way, of course, is by going to blogtalkradio.com and going to our station 4Radio and finding us there. Or there's always calling us at 347-857-3760 and joining us live on the air. If you did find us on Blog Talk, be sure to get yourself a free Blog Talk account and join us in the chat room if you have any questions for our guest tonight. So it's always free to get a Blog Talk account. Pretty simple. It's a 1-2-3 step, and you will be able to log in and access our chat room any week that we have our show on live. So those are the two ways to find us live. You can also tune in at our personal website, and that's shesgonecountry.us. And that's, again, shesgonecountry.us. So be sure to check that out. If you've missed any of the past shows, you can definitely log in there and go to the radio show page and click on any of our archives and catch up on what's been happening on She's Gone Country with Becky. Before we get going, I want to also make sure that I'm saying thank you to our sponsors, because obviously without our sponsors, we're unable to produce this show and bring it to you each and every week. So, of course, we want to say thank you to 4Radio, who is a media and PR platform owned and operated by 4 International. So 4Radio.com, it's a Living Rural production. So we thank them for being a sponsor. And, of course, we want to thank their station sponsors, Hyacinth, the Ambassador Program, B&B Builders, and Remodeling. So thank you so much for bringing 4 Radio to life as a station. Now, our show sponsors, of course, I want to say thank you to Trinity Wellness, Cowboy F Energy, TVAccountable.com, Living Royal Productions, as I mentioned earlier, and, of course, Trace Rios Silver. So thank you so much for continually underwriting our program each and every week. Tonight, joining me is my co-host, Vicki Christensen O'Shield. Vicki, how are you this evening?
Hey, Becky, I'm doing great. How are you this evening? Looking forward to a great program and just great to welcome Rob back for part 2.
Man, I tell you, it's going to be a good show, and I'm doing really well. Just hanging out at home. It's Grant's birthday tonight, so I just want to say happy birthday on the air to Mr. Grant Phillips. Thank you so much for being so caring these last couple weeks. I've been laying low and just recovering from some being under the weather and so forth, and he's just been great. So happy birthday, Grant. He's hanging out with the kids and barbecuing and having a good time. So I get to be up here with you and visiting with all the folks that tune in each and every week and get to bring my very special uncle back to the show, Rob Smith. Rob, are you there? Oh, he was. Rob, are you there? He might be on mute.
He could be on mute, Becky. He was here just a moment ago.
Do you not hear me? Hello?
We can hear you now. God bless technology.
Okay. I thought I was on, but...
Hey,
well, now you
are,
Rob. You're on.
Okay.
Did you notice how I introduced you this time?
Yes, I did.
How are you doing? You've had a long day. I talked to you early this morning. God bless you for still coming on. You had a very, very long day.
Oh, I got to drive a few miles today. We've moved down here south below San Antone, but I had a dentist appointment up by Abilene where we were living. So it's a 5-hour trip one way. So yeah, I made a good little round trip today.
Oh wow! Rob. Well, this is Vicki and Poteet. Is that where you and Carla moved?
Yes, we moved to Poteet. It's about 35 miles southwest of San Antone.
You had a long commute back up to Merkel then, if that's where you came from. Wow.
Yeah.
And God bless you.
You
still
day.
Came on. So let me just bring our guests up to speed. We had Uncle Rob on the show. It's been about 5 months, so it was back in April. And so if any of you missed that show, be sure to check out the archives on Blog Talk and scroll back, because the interview is well worth the time in finding it and tuning in and listening to it. And we asked Rob to come back because Rob has got such a depth and a history in the rodeo community and the Western way of life, and he has such a legacy that he's left with so many people that we just thought 1 hour just wasn't enough to really touch on what he has done in his career and his life and even now what he's doing with everything in his ministries and so forth. So we wanted to bring him back on. When we had him on back in April, we got to touch on a little bit about, you know, how he got started in the business and what that looked like and his earlier years. So I'm going to actually ask Uncle Rob just to take just a few minutes. And so if there's some callers on here who didn't get a chance to hear that, maybe just touch a little bit briefly on your touchstones and how you got started and then we can go forward. Because I want to hear about after the arena and what you've done and some of your fun moments that you remember, but I want to bring our listeners up to speed. So if you could just touch on that just a little bit, that would be great.
Well, I guess early in my career, I got my professional card back in 1978, won the Cow Palace, which was one of the very first ever big bullfighting contests. And then in 1983, I won my first Wrangler Jeans World Championship and went on to be fortunate to win it on five occasions. Worked basically every major rodeo in the country except for the Calgary Stampede and the Houston Astrodome, but I've been just about everywhere else at least once. And it was good. It was good.
Well, and, you know, when I was thinking about it, because I went back and I listened to a little bit of our show previously, just, you know, to really wrap my brain around, just so, because you've got so many accomplishments under your belt, just so many, and I'm sure with those accomplishments, there's that many more memories and that many more experiences that led to those accomplishments. And one thing that I wanted to ask you is, you know, when you got started back in the day and in 78, for our listeners that missed it the first time, you actually bull rode before you became a bull rider.
I rode bull some, yes, back in high school and a little bit professionally. But when I got my pro card, I knew I wanted to fight bulls for a living, and that's what I did. You know, all the rest of it just got put on the back burner. And if I could have ever done anything as good as I fought bulls, it would have been, I wish I could have team roped that good.
Ah. Well, Ron, this is Vicki, and you are a good team roper. I mean, you were the world's greatest, you know, when you fought bulls, absolutely. But you are a good team roper. I'm just saying kudos.
Well, I like to rope, but that roping doesn't pay the bills.
No, it doesn't. But, you know, Rob, going back to when you fought bulls, who was your mentor when you started out fighting bulls? We may have touched on this.
I was real fortunate at the time that I came in that Wick Path was just about toward the end of his career, and Skipper Voss, and I learned a lot from both of those men, and then Miles Hare and I became very good friends. Big-time rivals and competitors against each other, but we actually would go over, if you're like I'm watching the football game right now, we went over game film, like we would study fighting bulls together, even though we were competing against each other. And that friendship, as of right now, Miles and I put on about 4 schools a year. And the past couple world champion bullfighters have both come from our school. So now we get to feed our beliefs into other guys. So it's made it a lot of fun.
Well, you know, Rob, again, this is Vicki. And I just remember, you know, of course, you know, you were, you know, part of my family, part of Becky's family. You know, y'all still, you are. But I just remember that, you know, growing up in rodeo, around rodeo, it was always such a treat, you know, to watch you fight bulls because, I mean, you know, you were phenomenal. I mean, you absolutely set the pace. So many young bullfighters today, you know, that your style is what they look to do again. You know, you and Miles are absolutely fantastic.
Well, and as I mentioned, though, you know, we learned a lot of it from Wick and Skipper, and, you know, Wick and Skipper were the two kings of the sport, and to get to have been mentored by them and to make a few improvements on what they had already done, and we had those tools by, at the time our career started, the VHS machine was out there, and it was a lot easier to start studying things just as it is now. Heck, everybody's got an iPad, and they can copy everything now, you know, and watch it and study it. And it's just evolved the sport so much.
Well, and Uncle Rob, you know, one of the questions that I had for you, and we have just a couple minutes before our break. So what I wanted to really know, and I think what I do is I'm going to ask the question and then we'll address it when we get back, because I know we got to take a quick commercial break. But I want to know about your transition and what that transition even today looks like, when you are a professional bullfighter in the arena doing the PRC rodeos, and then you switch to PBR. And I know that there was quite a transition even earlier in the day with bullfighters, where at first, you know, back in the day they were looked at as also part of being a rodeo clown, but then they transitioned into being, you know, a bodyguard and a protector and more than what they started out to be. So it just, there's progressions, I think, that have happened in bullfighting, and I want to talk about those when we get back. So think about that, and we'll be right back after this commercial break.
ForRadio.com.
Are you thinking of selling your home? Hi, I'm Deborah Osborne with Coldwell Banker Beachside. Before you do anything else, call 1-800-710-0200. 360, extension 15, where you will hear a detailed recording on how I can sell your home faster and for more money than any other agent. Again, that toll-free number is 1-800-710-0260, extension 15. Call now, and let's get you packing.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
Grace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Grace Rio, our only limit is your imagination. Grace Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at traceriosilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
For radio.com.
Welcome back to She's Gone Country with Becky. This is your host, Becky Christensen, and I am joined tonight with my host, Vicki Christensen O'Shields. And I know Donna Lynn Quintana should be joining us. I believe her call's up, but she should be joining us here shortly. And so I'm really thankful, ladies, that you're able to be with me this evening as we continue into part two of our interview with five-time world champion bullfighter and my uncle, Rob Smith. Rob, thank you so much for joining me tonight. I appreciate it.
I'm glad to be on. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Now, before break, we were talking a little bit about, you know, your years bullfighting and all the things that you've gone through. And really quick, before we get back into that, I just want to say, if there's callers that are listening and you want to join in and you have a question for Rob, all you need to do is press 1 to go into the host queue, and my producer, Maria DiGiovanni, will let me know that you are in the queue. And I know we have some folks in there right now, and I will bring them on momentarily. But before break, I had asked Uncle Rob, you know, what was the transition like from going from the PRCA rodeos and all the rodeos that he was used to bullfighting at to transitioning into a new realm when the PBR came out, and it was just a different type of event and a new thing that was being created. Was it a pretty easy transition, or was it a little different?
It was easy transition for myself and Joe Bumgardner and Lloyd Ketchum and Jimmy Anderson. When Jimmy Anderson, out of the four guys that first went to fight and bulls at all the PBRs, Jimmy was the only one that ever did any acts. Lloyd and Joe and I were all just bullfighters, cowboy protectors. And at the time that I came in, there was just starting to be a separation. Wick Peth and Skipper Voss were the two guys that were able to go command a good price and not have to be funny. They made a good living just on their cowboy protection. And I never felt comfortable with the comedy. That's why I stayed away from it and got to be, you know, if you weren't going to be funny, then you better be able to be pretty daring. And so I chose that road, and it worked out pretty well for me.
Well, and so let's talk about that for a minute, because something we didn't touch on the last time you came on the show is share with our audience how you got the nickname Kamikaze Kid.
Well, I got the nickname the Kamikaze Kid because a few of my friends would start calling me that, and they were all saying that I had a death wish with the way that I fought bulls, but I don't believe that that was what it was. The thing was, I did a lot of things that a lot of people didn't think a person could do, and I never tried anything I didn't think I could get away with. There was just a lot I thought I could do. And then pretty soon it was getting me more and more rodeos for the chances that I took. And, you know, it was the dream of what I had, and it started taking me places and letting me see things that I wanted to see. And so you take another chance.
Yeah, you took a lot of them, that's for sure. And I know your knees really felt it there. I can't remember countless nights of, you know, being at the ranch with you guys and ice on your knees. So
yeah,
which leads me to share with, if you would, how did you come up with that? Because it became, well, I remember two things that became your signature move, and it was the way you would draw the bull to yourself, and then you would take a step and then step left or step right and spin around them, and then, of course, jumping the bull. Those kind of seemed like those were your signature moves. Did you come up with them, or did you see those somewhere? Or?
Well, Wick taught me about getting square to those bulls, and Skipper was the one Skipper and Miles threw the big jab step and did the step through maneuvers, what it's called, where you cross that bull's front end over, and a bull moves on a lead just like a horse. So if that bull is on a left hand lead, it's physically impossible for him to turn back to the right without being able to switch his leads and get his right leg back out in front of him. If he tries to make a right hand turn, he's going down. So that's why it's so important to get square, get him moving one direction, and then go back that other way, go back against the grain.
And so, Rob, this is Vicki, but that's what, I mean, and it didn't seem like it took a bull very long to catch up, but that's what gave you that extra step ahead of them to make everything come together, right?
On the good nights, yeah. But there's a reason in Mexico that they kill those bulls the first time they fight them, because those bulls they're not a dumb animal. They get smart to the game in a hurry. And they saw my trick, and then Miles's trick, and then Skipper Voss's trick, and Wick Pest's trick. Well, pretty soon it was like climbing in the ring with Muhammad Ali.
Oh,
you better be on your A game.
Interesting. Wow. Interesting. See, and the everyday, well, I shouldn't say everyday, and I don't want to use the word common because that's not, you know, the right wording I would typically like to use, but the fans and the stands that come to watch rodeo aren't going to know those little tricks and those little maneuvers, and they're not going to know that that's what a bull does. So, I mean, it just would really set the whole bullfighting apart, even though you're doing it out of protection mode and out of a way to, you know, protect the cowboy or get yourself out of harm's way. It looks really cool from the stands because they think you just totally tricked that bull, but they don't know the mechanics behind it.
Right. Well, and our sport, that's everybody thinks that, you know, fighting bulls or riding bulls, that people have got to be crazy. But if you stop and think about it, crazy people don't last at anything. They're a flash in the pan. And in order to be able to play the game, I played it for 28 years professionally. To be able to play a game that long, you've got to have a basic set of fundamentals. And you've got to be fundamentally sound in order to be able to play the game that long.
Isn't that so true? And that goes with any sport. Rob, real quick, I just want to take a quick break and welcome our other guest co-host of the show, Donna Lynn Fontana's online. Donna Lynn, are you there?
She didn't want to talk today.
She's got her phone on mute.
And that would be the first time ever that Donna Lynn didn't have something to say.
Oh, good one. Donna Lynn,
hot.
Come on and defend yourself, Donna Lynn. We're waiting for you.
Yeah.
Come on. Do you have your mute button on, Donna Lynn? I don't know. We might. Hi, guys.
Donna Lynn,
I'm here.
Hello.
No, I wish you could be here, Vicki especially, because you know Chris talks those places. We're at the bunkhouse. There's 22 beds.
Oh,
we got everybody flying in tomorrow night. We couldn't get a housekeeper to do all the bedding and the sheets and everything. So it's a job. It's a job.
You're working.
We're getting
Donna
it
Lynn.
Done. We're getting it done. Yeah. You
Donna Lynn.
Spot Hi.
Donna Lynn, is Nancy there?
Nancy.
Yeah, from up in Michigan.
Nancy.
You said you were at Chris Cox's.
Yeah.
Nancy that comes up from Michigan from the Upper Peninsula? Did she come to cook?
Do you know? Yes, Nancy Hudson.
Yes, Nancy Hudson. There is not
yes.
a better lady in the world than Nancy Hudson.
I love her. She is the most positive, wonderful person. I wish she was coming. She'll sometimes fly up just to help us, too.
Yeah, that's awesome. She'd always tell me she was coming to see Chris and help cook and stuff. And she's lady is just something else. Very good
she
lady.
Is the happiest, most positive lady I've ever met in my life. Love her. Love her. Yeah. I wish she were here. This would be great. But how are you? How are you, Rob? I've been listening
Things
to you guys
well.
While we're making beds. We've been making beds and listening to the radio show.
the rodeo radio report.
That's
the
right.
Rodeo radio report.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, you know what, Rob? I was thinking about this. When we're doing our first cutting horse wish at the NCHA Futurity, and after 20 years, we've never had the perfect storm for a cutting horse wish. What we need to do is actively Facebook and find some of these kids that want to be mentored by you and do this for the Chris Cox Show maybe next year.
Okay.
So there's always kids. That
I can ride a cutting horse.
Huh?
I can ride a cutting horse.
Perfect, perfect. Yeah.
I won the Fort Worth Celebrity twice.
Oh, you
perfect.
No, you did? Wow. Yeah. That's pretty cool. That's great. Yeah. We need to just put a Facebook thing, any kids that are faced with adversity but have had a dream to know how, you know, they would like to learn and be mentored by the greatest in the world, Rob Smith.
What we need to do is you need to come down. It'd be fun to go to Chris's, but we put on our big school November the 8th in Liberty, Texas.
Would be to come down
and spend 3 days with us at a school.
That'd be wonderful.
That would be totally awesome.
That would be so. So we're going to have to look, because it took a long time to find this cutting horse match, a little girl that's a senior in high school with an inoperable brain tumor. But Clint Allen, who's won $3.5 million in the cutting, he is mentoring her for 2 months to do a demo in front of that whole world championship crowd that night.
Oh,
and
wow. That'll be
isn't
awesome.
Isn't that cool? Yeah, that's really something. So,
That's in December, right?
Yep, uh-huh, yeah. It's the first time I'm going to leave the NFR.
That's on the same night as a celebrity cutting.
Probably.
Probably.
That's right. It probably is. Yep.
They get a great crowd. That'll be awesome.
Won't that be something? They're going to show a 3-minute video of Clint and Emily working together for the 2 months, and then they're actually auctioning off a breeding fee to a highbrow cat, if you can imagine, for Western Wishes.
Oh wow,
that's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
20 years.
Well, and I just want to say too, for those that are listening, Donalyn Fontana is our guest co-host, and she's also the CEO and founder of Western Wishes, which, as you hear in our commercial breaks, grants wishes to children dealing with, there really is no age limit, that are facing adversity.
Right.
So she's busy down at getting ready for one of her wishes.
Yep.
Donalyn, this is Vicki.
Hi, Vicki.
If you will. Hi, sweetie. Fill everyone in real briefly about the ranch program at Chris Cox's and what's going on this weekend.
Yeah, we have about two minutes before commercial break, so why don't you take us into
commercial
break.
We got a great group of kids. We got two families coming out from Utah, one from Utah and one from California. One, ironically, this is all kind of a horsemanship show, and it's going to be good because it's one girl that wants to be a reiner, so we're taking her to the World Show in November, but she's going to be highlighted, and she just won a couple of youth world championships, and she has extreme, severe seizures, and she's bringing her seizure dog on the airplane and everything, but she's just been an ambassador of hope for Western Wishes. And then we have Brooke Lucia, Tommy Lucia's granddaughter, who has severe juvenile diabetes. She's going to be on the show. And then we have Emily, the one that's battling the brain tumor, that's going to be in the cutting horse world. And then we have Bailey that is going to be running. She won Miss Rodeo Utah after severely breaking her back and not being able to compete. And at the last minute, she competed and she won it. So Debbie Garrison's going to be here, Tyson Durfee and Shay Fisher and Clint Allen and, of course, Chris Cox. So I think it's going to be great. And I'd love to have you, Rob, here for a show.
I would love to come up.
Good. But that Liberty thing is really a good idea, so we'll talk about that. I would love to do something like that. So We'll get the word out.
Okay. Thank you, Donna Lynn. Thank you so much. And we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to continue with Rob Smith when we get back. Hold tight.
ForRadio.com.
Since 1997, Tresrio Silver has been providing custom handmade trophy buckles at an affordable price. Family owned, your business is important to us. We are big enough to meet your needs, but small enough to provide that personal touch. Give us a call today at 800-550-7535 and speak with someone on our design staff. Or go online to www.tresriosilver.com. Let us help you design your next trophy buckle. That's Tresrio Silver, Llano, Texas.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
Are you thinking of selling your home? Hi, I'm Deborah Osborne with Coldwell Banker Beachside. Before you do anything else, call 1-800-710-0260, extension 15, where you will hear a detailed recording on how I can sell your home faster and for more money than any other agent. Again, that toll-free number is 1-800-710-0260, extension 15. Call now, and let's get you packing.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
ForRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to She's Gone Country with Becky. This is your host, Becky Christensen Phillips, and I just want to say thank you so much for joining us tonight. We have been spending this evening visiting with someone very special to me. He is my uncle, and he's been just very near and dear to my heart growing up. And I'm just excited to have him back on the show this week, Rob Smith. Rob, thank you again for coming on. This is twice for you, and that means a lot because I know you are a busy, busy man.
Well, I'm busy, busy because my 49ers are getting beat tonight, and I'm trying to watch a football game.
Oh my God! Cut into your 49ers.
Oh man, huh?
Man,
I may have moved to Texas, and I may have to do a lot of things, but I'm still a diehard San Francisco 49er fan.
Rob, you always have been a 49er fan, and I have to tell you, I still hang in there with the Hawks. You know, they lost to the Cowboys last night, but you know, yesterday,
they took a beating yesterday. Oh, that was brutal. But you know what? Kudos to Dallas. They played well. But I know how avid of a fan Rob is of his San Francisco team. So thank you, thank you, thank you humbly for missing out on your football. Okay, so before we go into a little bit more about where Rob is today and the you know what he's doing today, and because his life has obviously moved from outside of the arena, but he's still behind the scenes, busy, busy, busy. I have someone on the phone that wants to come on and share a special memory, and so I'm going to bring on the phone my beautiful mother, Kathy Christensen. Mom, are you there?
I'm here. Rob, how are you, sweetheart?
Hello, Kathy. How are you?
Oh, I'm just doing fine. I've missed you over the years. I've just missed you. And one special memory I will always hold dear in my heart is when I was so sick in the hospital and no one was allowed. I was in isolation and no one was allowed in. And you and Sherry came in and you were protecting me from seeing what was going on around in that intensive care ward. And you told them you were my brother. you guys were hiding me from seeing what was going on, and I didn't even realize where I was. I was totally incoherent, but I just will never forget you guys going from side to side trying to keep me from looking out the window.
Yeah.
It was that I always held that in my heart. It's so special. And I just have to compliment you on what a great prayer warrior you've become.
Well, I've been pretty blessed over the years. I keep telling all my friends that I'm living proof that God's merciful and forgiving because I tried him a lot harder than you're supposed to.
Well, haven't we all? Haven't we all, you know? You probably got to shed a tear or two.
Yeah.
You know, but somehow or other, what a movement in rodeo, I have to say, the people that have turned to Christ.
Yep, it's been a big move for a lot of people.
It sure has.
But it says God's coming back on a white horse, so gotta be cowboys involved somewhere.
You betcha.
Cowboying up.
Yeah. I was just going to say, you know, you were talking about bullfighting and so on, and I just remember the bulls that you all fought in those Wrangler bullfights. Those are the most treacherous bulls I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, the bulls, that pin of bulls that Harry Vold had was just, they were the monsters of the Midway, and we'll never see another pin of bulls of that caliber again, I don't believe. You know, they just, those bulls got fought a lot, and they were just big, strong bulls that really loved the game, too. And that bull, Crooked Nose, was probably, you know, I've never seen an animal love the game more.
It just shows how smart they are.
I would never forget when you got your trailer and you brought it over and you had Crooked Nose plaster all over the back of that trailer.
Yep, he looked like he was coming out the back door.
It sure did. I've got pictures of it.
Yeah.
I think
it's on my Facebook page with me and Dad standing there by the trailer.
Yep, I've seen it. Well, Mom, stay on the line and sit back and join. And thank you so much for joining me. And also, just to let our audience know, what my mom was talking about, too, with Rob is, and when she was in the hospital, my mom got a severe case of the chicken pox as an adult, and it about took her out. The Lord spared her life and healed her, and it was he knew that her kids needed her, so she got to stay around. But so that was a pretty special time for my mom to have that support with Uncle Rob and all of them there. So, Mom, thank you for sharing your heart. I appreciate it. So stay on the line. But you did leave a good segue because I did want to ask Rob, and you triggered that question for me. Is Rob, tell me a little bit before we go any further, something I think is a lingering question, even that I don't even remember because I stepped out of the rodeo lifestyle for some time. What happened and what was the transition that they removed the Rainbow Bullfights from the rodeos?
Well, what happened there, the reason the Wrangler Bullfights, they fought them for 20 years. But what happened, Wrangler got the opportunity to become the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo. And like any sponsor, they have X number of dollars allocated toward a sport when the opportunity came to become the Wrangler NFR as opposed to putting on the Wrangler Bullfights. The Wrangler decided to make them the Wrangler NFR, and they're one of our dollars.
Right. And that was sad because, I just it was a highlight, of every NFR performance was the Wrangler Bullfights. Y'all closed it out and had so many fans. And so that was really a sad thing when they quit doing it, Rob.
Well,
it
was really sad for the younger guys because, there was a lot of young guys that with a lot of talent coming on with dreams of and aspirations of being world champions, and that opportunity got taken away from a lot of young talent.
Now, this is Becky. It just seems kind of weird to me that, Wrangler may have transitioned. No one else wanted to pick it up from a sponsor level?
Well, I think at that point in time that the PRCA was seeking sponsors to really get the TV going even stronger on the NFR. And when they pulled Wrangler, they were pulling sponsors into the PRCA, and we just got swept under the carpet. I never held resentment toward Wrangler for the move Wrangler made. My resentment, if any, was probably toward the PRCA due to the fact of that they had an already very program, and they could have gone out and picked up another sponsor and said, hey, we've got a program that's been going for 20 years. They're already going to this spot, this spot, this spot. All you got to do is it's a buy-in and take-off with program. And
absolutely. It was a winning program.
They didn't actively pursue it.
Well, and that's unfortunate because, like you said, it left a lot of upcoming bullfighters in the dark with nothing for them to pursue other than, you know, obviously the rodeo contracts. But I'm sure at that point there was quite a pool of bullfighters coming up that were ready to go.
By then there was a lot of young guys, like I said, a lot of young guys that had an opportunity or with a desire and dreams of becoming a world champion bullfighter. And, you know, a lot of young guys lost their dream.
So what did you say to them in that era? I mean, because this, I think, transitions to, you know, where you are today, because you've really become, you were a mentor then, but you've become such a mentor in so many different realms now, from your walk with the Lord to your mentorship and teaching them how to bullfight, plus, you know, all the other genres that you're in. How did you help them transition out of that and keep their hopes alive and creating new dreams?
Well, with that, you know, you just had to start getting focused and trying to get rodeos. At that point, in my career there, it was time. The PBR was already established and up and going. And the last year they crowned a Wrangler World Champion Bullfighter was 2000. And by then I was going full steam ahead with the Built Ford Tough Series of the PBR. And I actually retired from rodeo in 2000 and just went to work in the PBRs.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Rob, this is Donna Lynn, and I, for excitement value, out of all that, I remember the dialogue you'd hear after the NFL, after those performances at the finals, and they were talking about nothing other than the bullfights. The entertainment value was unbelievable. I was really disappointed when it left. I thought that was a bad move.
Well, when you bring, you know, they bring the best six guys in there, and the prize money was a good prize. It was an opportunity to win a big check. Those guys were willing to lay it on the line and make it exciting.
Oh, you
know,
yeah.
There was a lot of good talent there.
Oh, and Rob, you did. You all made it exciting, and you're right, exactly. It was talent. It was an art form, and it's really sad that it's not still around, because not only for the up-and-coming bullfighters that would like to be involved, but for the audiences that never got to experience it, it was something very special.
You know, we're fortunate that they put on a couple in Oklahoma, a Rex Dunn Memorial, and they have one in the spring, and Salinas Rodeo still has one. And there's, you know, they have them, but it's pretty tough to crown a world champion. They crown a world champion, but it's a one-event world championship. It's not like the old tour where you go all year long and, you know, compete in 30 go-rounds and then crown a world champion.
Mm-hmm. Well, Rob, I'm sorry, this is Vicki. I just have one question. Out of the five times that you won the world championship, Rob, and I know each one of them was very special to you, but what one year really sticks out in your mind to be, you know, the best, the cream de la creme?
I guess probably would be the first one, 83. I always thought that the 1994, the last time that I won it, would have been. And it was, because I dedicated that year to Carla, and I gave Carla that buckle for sticking through with me when I broke my neck and all that we'd been through.
Right.
But I really thought, you know, I went out that year in a vengeful mode, because when I broke my neck in 92 and everybody kept telling me I was done, I'd never fight bulls again. And it was funny, all the people that were always patting me on the back, everybody, they'd wrote you off. You were done. And so when I won the world, I thought it was going to be that it was really going to be a good feeling, and I got to the Gold Coast that night, and I ended up spending the night in the room sitting there bawling because the peace and all that I thought that that gold buckle was going to bring me and the happiness, the mm-hmm. hole in my gut was still there. And mm-hmm. that's when I, you know, I came pretty close to getting things figured out then. And then a couple of years later, I went to that rodeo school Bible camp in Twin Falls, Idaho with Cody and Scott Mendez and Clay O'Brien Cooper and Alan Bach and all those mm-hmm. guys and Rope Myers. And that's where I got saved and, you know,
wow.
And then managed to turn the corner.
Wow.
Well, and Uncle Rob, something I always wanted to ask you is, you know, three times you broke your neck and you kept coming back. What was it that every time, I mean, the first time and the second time, what drew you back until you finally, after the third time, said, I'm done?
Well, I always truly felt that if God meant for me not to fight bulls, and that was one of the things that even before I got saved, people would say, why would you go back and fight bulls? And my answer always was, well, if God meant for me not to fight bulls, he'd make it so I couldn't. But, you know, I'm still here, so. And the other part of it was I loved it. I loved it with all my – if anybody could ever say anything about Rob Smets, more than that he won 5 gold buckles, more than whatever he accomplished, I would want somebody to be able to say, you know, Rob Smets fought, he loved it.
Right.
I loved it with all my heart.
And it showed, Rob, in every move you made, every jump you made, every interview you gave outside of the arena, it showed you loved it. And it loved you, Rob, no doubt.
Yes.
Well, it was good, you know. And if I would have been a single man, I probably would have gone back again the third time. But when Carla looked at me after I broke it the third time, and you know, Carla's degree is special education and that, and she said, you know, last thing she wanted to do, she said, I don't want to push you in a wheelchair. I said, okay,
right.
I'm done. We're
yeah.
good. You know, she
yeah.
said, what else do you want out of this? What more are you going to try to prove? And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it had been good, but it was, you know, it had been so good that it's hard to let go. It's very hard.
I can understand that. Well, we're going to roll right through the end of the hour and just because we have so much more that we want to talk about. So we're just going to continue on. We've got about 10 minutes left. And, you know, moving forward from retirement, Uncle Rob, for instance, you know, I know you're busy and you do a lot of things outside the arena, and I know you're working full-time and you're announcing. Tell us about this event that you've got coming up November 8th.
Well, November 6th, 7th, and 8th, Miles and I've got a big school with Gary Lafue down in Liberty, Texas. And we do a 3-day school, and on the end of the third night, we're going to put on a big $10,000 added freestyle bullfighting contest. And we've got 12 great guys, a couple from the Northwest, a few from the Northwest, actually, Logan Blaisdell, Eric Schwint, Braden Johnson, and then Ross Hill, Dusty Tuckness, Nathan Harp, a world champion, Evan Allard, a world champion. I'm just going off the top of my head here, but we've got 12 guys that will go for it when the chips are down. It'll be a real good night, and bring them all down there and. Got a good pin of bulls from Cody Castro out of Louisiana and Brett Hall from down there in South Texas, and it'll be a good night.
So what can one expect in one of your schools? Do you just focus on technique? Is there some, you know?
Well, we're going to give them the fundamentals at our schools when they come. We give them the basic set of fundamentals. We work with the dummy. We put them in different positions. We're going to see, you know, we get guys everywhere from guys that have never fought bulls before to guys that are right on the bubble of really taking off. And you work on their fundamentals and try and sharpen their skills. And we work on everything from cowboy protection to freestyle bullfighting. But it's pretty hard to protect a cowboy if you can't handle a bull. So you've got to be able, all those guys that want to say, oh, I'm just a cowboy protector, I don't freestyle bulls. Well, I don't think any of them guys are worth their salt. Because most of those guys, how can you protect a cowboy if you can't fight a bull?
Yeah, because you got to know how to read them and know what they're doing.
You got to be able to get around one. What if a guy's knocked out right at the catch pin? Huh? What are you going to do with that bull? Because that bull's got to go. You got to draw that bull away and try and give somebody a chance to get guys out of there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here this leads me into kind of this, and it's maybe a little bit touchy, and I hope it's okay to talk about it, but. Let's talk about bullfighters today versus bullfighters back in your day, because I remember there was a time, and that I spent a summer with you, and it just we're going on. It's been I guess 25 years now that we honor the life of Lane Frost, and I know how close he was to you, and I remember being there with you when you found out he had passed at Cheyenne, and I remember how hard you took it. And I remember the struggles you were going through at that point with a lot of things in the arena. Are those same things still there, or do you think that that because of folks like you and Miles that are up in there and you're training the guys that are out there in the arena, do you feel that they're better trained now?
I think there's a lot of guys out there that have got a lot of talent. And like the three boys that fought bulls at the NFR last year, did an awesome job. The best part of it was you could sit there and you could see they were having fun together. They checked their egos. They checked their egos at the door, and they went out there and they did a knockout job. And it was a lot of fun to get to watch them. And there's
a lot of
good talented young men out there right now.
Is there enough upcoming and moving forward? Because everything kind of goes through waves. And I know there was a time where, the PRCA was really down on bareback riders. There wasn't a lot of upcoming bareback riders. And I know that's becoming more plentiful now. Have you seen that wave at all through the years in bullfighting?
No, not so much in the bullfighting. You see it in the bareback riding. There's no doubt about it. I mean, there's like 75 bareback riders in the PRCA. If a guy was wanting to try to qualify for the National Finals Rodeo, you'd be wanting to go to a couple good bareback schools and learn how to ride a bareback horse. I mean,
yeah.
If you think about it, if there's only 75 in the PRCA, you got to only beat 60 guys to be in the top 15 to get a chance to win the world.
Unreal.
Pretty good odds. Pretty good odds.
But now the other part of that is you hear those announcers talk. It is without a doubt the most physically demanding event in the sport. It is hard on body parts. But for the guys that have the heart and the desire and the work ethic, because when you're in good shape, you're hard to hurt. So if you want something bad enough, it's there.
You got to go.
There's two things I tell my students at every one of my schools. Two things to always remember. You can never be too polite. There is no such thing. You cannot get there. And the other thing that you can never do is you can never be in too good a shape. It is impossible to be. There's no such thing as too good a shape. You can't get there.
Well, Rob, question, with this school coming up in November and everything, do you have any spots still open? Are you full up? How many students?
We've got
a few
spots. It's pretty darn full. Last year we had, 25 students at the school. So,
wow, that's great.
They come. We've got livestock for all caliber of guys. So that's why it is such a good school. And like I said, Miles and I, we've had a lot of success. Our boys are out there and they're doing good jobs right now and working a lot. So
guys get to look around and see them, and it's good
for us. Yeah, and that's the best part. I get to spend 3 days with Miles, so it's a good day.
it's about time the two of you together got into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well, Miles went into the Hall of Fame this year. And yep. I got to go up there and be one of the two MCs, so I got to speak and brag on him. So it was a real good fun day.
Totally
well,
awesome.
We are short on time, and that means you're about ready to get back to your 49ers. So we won't keep
I
you too long.
I get the first half of the football game.
Thank you so much. Hopefully, it'll be the better half. Share with our audience in those last couple minutes. You know, just what's on your heart, because you know you have just been and just go getter after the Lord, and it's just real. You see all the prayers you lift up every week. Tell people, you know, if they have a prayer request, what do they need to do? Do they just Facebook yet?
Well, I've got a Facebook page, and they can send a message if they've got a prayer request, and it just kind of took off last year, and everything went wild, and I thought, you know what, if that's where the Father wants to put me, using me as a messenger to help put out prayers to try and touch people's lives, and at the same time play a counselor, as in some ways, because some of the questions that I get asked and things that people ask, you know, and try to make people realize that, you know, he wants us to come to him, but we can't just go to him when we're in a bind. You know, he's always there, and he's meeting and greeting us with arms outstretched, but we also have to believe, and there's only one way, you know. So many people want to be politically correct anymore, and everybody wants to think that, well, yeah, I know God and I love God, and there's a lot of different ways to have a relationship with him. How do you interpret it? You know, how what's your interpretation of how we get there and get to heaven? Well, if you read your Bible, there's only one interpretation, and it says Jesus tells us that we must be born again. We have to acknowledge. First, we have to ask for forgiveness. And by that, it tells us in the Our Father that we have to ask for forgiveness, but we also have to give forgiveness to those that we harbor resentment against. Secondly,
yep.
We have to acknowledge that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And third is, you know, we just have to accept his grace, because we can't work for it. It doesn't matter how good we are, how much money we tithe on a Sunday afternoon, Sunday morning at church. You know, you can be a good old boy and you can help a lot of people, but unless you've gone through those three steps, you can be as good as you want, but you're going to be down there gnashing teeth when it's all said and done.
Amen. And folks, that's coming from Mr. Rob Smith, 5-time world champion bullfighter and lover of God, and just total. He's my uncle, and I love him. And I just say thank you so much, Uncle Rob, for joining us tonight. You can find him on Facebook if you have a prayer request. And we're going to close it out right now with a little cowgirl logic. See you all next week. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Thank you, Rob.
Thanks, uh-huh. Rob. Love you.
Good night, y'all.
Good night.
Bye.
Fear is something that everyone has to deal with. I have found a couple of principles that minimize the fear factor greatly, one of which is know you're in the will of God. When I know that I'm obeying God to the best of my ability, I have great confidence, no matter what the situation looks like. People living outside of God's will don't have that confidence. One time when I was flying someplace, we were in some pretty rough turbulence for a while, and the lady sitting next to me was beginning to freak out. And I quietly told her not to be afraid, because nothing was going to happen to this plane. She asked how I could be so confident. Well, I told her I knew it was because I was in God's will. I was where I was supposed to be at this time, and the call of my life was not yet finished, so that plane was not coming down. Two people in the same situation, one in total peace, though nauseated, and the other tormented by fear. Well, years ago, I was entered in the girls' bareback bronc riding at a PRCA rodeo in Los Angeles, and it had taken all my money just to get there and pay my fees, and I bucked off my first horse. If I didn't win something, I was stuck in Los Angeles, and the pucker factor was getting pretty intense. Right about that time, I heard that inner voice down the inside, the Lord telling me, "Didn't I call you to do this?" "Yes, Lord." "Then I'll take care of you."
get your eyes off yourself and get your focus back on me. I repented and peace returned. It was the best ride I ever made. When God is telling you to do something and you're afraid, do it afraid. When it's God's will, face that fear and you'll conquer it. Run from it and it'll conquer you. If you'll do God's will, fear will lose its power over you. I'm Crystal Lyons, and this is Cowgirl Logic. For more, go to cowgirllogic.net.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
ForRadio.com.